Do you know what I use to record these podcasts? It's Anchor by Spotify. It's the easiest way to make a podcast with everything you need all in one place. Let me explain. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or a computer. It's all really, really easy. It's all really intuitive. When hosting on Anchor, you can distribute your podcast on listening platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. It's everything you need to make a podcast. Good afternoon. Welcome to Inside Indiana Sports Now with Kent Sterling. It's Tuesday, July 13th, 2021. We're brought to you by the great people at Today's Dentistry. Dr. Mike O'Neill, the best dentist that there is. He's been my dentist the last 28 years. You can make him yours today. Call 317-849-2933. Punch subscribe, hit like, ring the bell. Let's go. Let's talk about sports. First thing I want to talk about. Rumors that Ben Simmons may be brought to the Indiana Pacers via trade from the 76ers. I got 9 reasons why Ben Simmons and the Pacers should never intertwine their desire for success together. Number one, Ben Simmons, 1 week from today, is going to turn 25 years old, which means he's baked. He's done. We know what he is. He's only going to become marginally better from this point forward. Do you think? People are talking about Ben Simmons like, well, what he's got to do is get into a gym and start shooting, work on his shot, and then he's going to fix it, and he's going to be a complete basketball player. Do you know what? Ben Simmons didn't just fall off a turnip truck and figure out that he can't shoot today. This has been going on his entire career, all the way back to LSU. He knew he couldn't shoot, and he's been trying to address it without success. That means he hasn't been able to do it up till now, so he ain't going to be able to do it from now forward. Why would anybody think that somebody could teach him how to shoot threes, free throws, whatever, at a higher level, a significantly higher level, right? Just because they decided that it's so and he no longer lives in Philadelphia. It doesn't make sense. Number two, he's going to be due a lot of money over the next 4 years. He is scheduled to make $31.5 million, $33.9 million, $36.3 million, and $38.6 million. That's a hell of a lot of money for a guy who can't shoot the basketball. And allocating those resources against the cap and against the luxury tax threshold to a guy who can't shoot, whether he's an elite defender or not, and he is an elite defender, that's craziness. You got to have people who can put the ball in the bucket and make other teams pay for their defensive shortcomings. The Pacers, with Ben Simmons, would not be such a team. Number three, he is from threes his entire career. He's played in the NBA 4 years. He's been under contract for 5 years, but he's played for 4 years. And from beyond the arc, he is 5 of 34. That means in his 4 years of playing full-time in the NBA, he has averaged less than 9 attempts per year and just over 1 make per year. That is under 20%. That you don't want any part of in today's NBA. All right, number four, a career 59.7% foul shooter. And in this previous playoffs, he was under 40% in both series. This is a guy you can foul late in the game. This is a ball-dominant point guard who you can foul late in the game and have missed free throws that could otherwise put you over the top in a game. This is not a guy that you want with the ball late in the game, so you would have to sub him out. You'd have to sub your most expensive player out late in the game rather than have him turn wins into losses for you. Don't want any part of Ben Simmons. Number five, closest in similarity scores, according to basketballreference.com, Bob Davies, James Silas, and Daryl Carrier. I literally don't know who Bob Davies or Daryl Carrier are. I know who James Silas is. I get him. The other two, I don't know those guys. Do you want to spend that kind of money? And it isn't going to be like you're signing him as a free agent. You're going to have to give up assets toward Philly to get Ben Simmons here. You want to give up those assets and pay that contract for a guy who compares with Bob Davies and Daryl Carrier? I don't think so. All right, number six. How about this? He didn't make the NCAA tournament in his only year at LSU. I think if you don't make the NCAA tournament, there's got to be something the matter with your game, right? If Markel Fultz is another guy. He was good enough to get his head coach at Washington fired. All right, Ben Simmons, very similar. His head coach at LSU was fired the year after he declared for the draft and was drafted by the Philadelphia 76ers. These are not the kind of guys you build championships around. Number seven, the Pacers need a shooter / scorer, and that is really not Ben Simmons. You've got to have a guy who can put the ball in the bucket if you're the Indiana Pacers. Ben Simmons not only can't put the ball in the bucket, but he doesn't want to put the ball in the bucket. Number eight, he is undervalued and overpriced. That's a bad combination. Number nine, taking Philly castoffs could become a habit. And, Carson Wentz is here taking a chance with Carson Wentz. And I like the chance. I like the risk because at his best, he is a franchise-level quarterback in the NFL. Taking Ben Simmons, you're not going to hit on both of those, right? You're not going to go 2 for 2 taking Philly castoffs. 1 for 2 is the best you can hope for, so let's not even play in those waters. Let's get Carson Wentz square, and then let's forget all about Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons, Kevin Pritchard has got to know that if you can't shoot, you can't play. We have said it here a million times. If you can't shoot, you can't play, and Ben Simmons can't shoot. That's the name of the game in the NBA. You got to be able to make shots. Team USA, they play Argentina at 6 o'clock tonight. That means Luis Scola. We get to watch Louis play some basketball. I loved Luis Scola when he played for the Pacers. His kids were always kind of knocking around the locker room. Funny kids working on the dry erase board. Really, really fun to have around. Luis Scola, a really, really good guy, an adult in the room, who I think the Pacers escorted to the door just a little bit too early. Greg Popovich is a coach. I'm tired of Greg Popovich. I've had it with this guy. The dust up between he and the guy in the media after last night's loss to Australia. What the hell are we doing? Greg Popovich, you know what? He needs to be a human being. Don't treat people badly just because you can get away with it. Greg Popovich makes $11 million a year from the San Antonio Spurs, probably makes more elsewhere, right? So he can afford to treat people badly if he wants to. Is this the level of humanity you want to represent? Just because you can treat people badly, you do treat people badly. I think the coaches treating the media in the way Popovich did yesterday, it's kind of like when you go out with friends for the first time and you go to a restaurant and you see somebody that you just met is at your table and they treat the server really, really poorly. I hate those people. Invariably, that is a character flaw that winds up defining them and is really not just a defining characteristic, but is a characteristic that kind of opens the door to other characteristics that are unsavory and that you don't want to be around. I always judge people by how they treat servers. If you treat a server well, you're one of those people who's just generally a pretty good human being. If you treat them poorly, you're not a good human being. Greg Popovich doing what he did yesterday to the guy who asked a pretty good question, reasonable question, about blowing teams out and how Team USA is used to just kind of rolling the balls out and kicking everybody's butt in an exhibition. That not being the case this year after two losses, one to Nigeria, then the one last night to Australia. You got another one, like I said, coming up tonight against Argentina. Greg Popovich has revealed his character again and again and again in the way he treats the media. Treat people well. Don't be a cause for distress for other human beings. Understand that as important as you think you are, because you coach basketball and won championships while Tim Duncan was on your roster, and all of a sudden that makes you a brilliant guy, all right? Define yourself not through your wins and losses and not through the money you make, but by how you treat others. Do that. And then you can talk to me about being a human being. I don't mean to cast aspersions on a town, but Greg Popovich is from East Chicago, Indiana. East Chicago is a hard place to get along with people. And I think that Greg Popovich is a pretty good example of that. I've interviewed a bunch of people. My first was Ron Kittle. When Ron Kittle re-signed with the White Sox in November of 1988, I went to the Bards Room at Old Comiskey Park representing WGN Radio. And Ron Kittle does his little stand-up deal at the podium. And then afterward, he breaks down for one-on-ones. And so I'm just standing there. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I got a cassette player and a microphone. I'm just standing there, and he's talking to Jerome Holtzman, who is the dean of all Chicago sports writers ever. Like, and is a baseball sports writer, maybe the best of all time. And so Jerome Holtzman's talking to him. I'm just recording this conversation between Jerome Holtzman and Ron Kittle. And Kittle looks at me like, what are you doing here? And Jerome Holtzman looks at me and goes, kid, you got a question? I said, no. You know, you're Jerome Holtzman. I'll roll with your questions. That's fine. I just need a cut for WGN Radio is all. Ron Kittle was nice, and Jerome Holtzman was accommodating and patient. And I've always appreciated it. I rarely run into anybody who treats the media poorly. You know, every once in a while, but not very often. The way Greg Popovich deals with the media is just absolutely horrible. And really, to me, defines him as a human being. And I've known people who've worked for the Spurs. And what they say about Greg Popovich doesn't paint him in a contradictory light to what I'm defining him as. We'll just leave it at that. Hey, baseball, the All-Star Games tonight. I could care less about the All-Star Game, but I got to tell you, I can care less about the Home Run Derby, but I watch it every year. And I kind of kicked myself in the head for doing it, for wasting my time. But I kind of enjoyed it last night. It was pretty good. Pete Alonso is terrific. The All-Star Game tonight, I'm probably going to wind up watching. Otani pitching and hitting, that's kind of interesting. But people who compare Otani with Babe Ruth are crackers. Babe Ruth hit 714 career home runs. He was the best left-handed pitcher in the American League when he pitched for the Red Sox. All right, Otani is neither the best pitcher in the American League right now, nor has he hit 714 home runs. So go ahead and do that. Represent the game in the way that Babe Ruth did. Build the popularity of the game in the way Babe Ruth did. And then we'll talk about whether Shohei Otani is somehow the next Babe Ruth or can kind of even walk in Babe Ruth's shadow. All right. We heard from Rob Manfred about some changes to baseball that are coming next year. This is confounding to me. And so Rob Manfred is the commissioner of Major League Baseball. He says that they're going to drop the 7-inning doubleheaders, which is a good thing. Let's get rid of the 7-inning doubleheaders. I'm glad those are going away. The extra runner in extra innings, they're going away also. So it's going to be baseball as we've always known it with Major League Baseball beginning again next year. Manfred says that those changes were implemented based upon medical advice. Show me an epidemiologist, right, who says, listen, I'm going to save you a big headache. You're going to start extra innings with runners on second base, and you're only going to play 7-inning doubleheaders. This is my medical advice to you. If I were Rob Manfred, I would say, based upon what? And I don't believe I'd get a coherent answer back. It makes no sense. Rob Manfred was just trying to pull rabbits out of a hat with bizarre rule changes that maybe would float with fans or not. They didn't, and so they're changing back. But here's one thing that will happen. As the new CBA is negotiated, and there's going to be a work stoppage next year, they're not going to start the season on time. They just won't. Manfred was hired for his ability to negotiate a new CBA. He is not going to gack this up. He is a good negotiator, which means he's going to be a guy who holds firm. But one of the areas where he will not hold firm is in the DH. A designated hitter is going to come to the National League. I hate that. I like Major League Baseball being played. You got to be somehow versatile in what you do. I think it's hilarious that we both applaud Shohei Ohtani for his ability to pitch and hit, but we're not going to allow anybody else to do it. That's just bizarre. Breakfast with Kent tomorrow morning. We're talking about sports. It's what we do. Big, you know what? July, oh, it's a slow month. My ass, it's not a slow month. It's a slow month for people unwilling to scratch beneath the surface a little bit. Let's go talk about sports.